That. Let me remind you of choir practice. If you're in the choir or supposed to be, maybe you used to sing in the choir and you just sort of got lazy. Get in here for choir practice this evening at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock this evening, and then church tonight. I'll be preaching tonight, if it's God's will, on the subject. There is no such thing as an honest thinking atheist. And I promise you, it'll be controversial, and that's not why I'm doing it. But it's just impossible to preach the Bible and believe what we believe without running across into the doctrines of this world's teaching. You don't have to try to take a stand. You just stay what's right, and you'll get hit enough. And so don't miss tonight's service, 6 o'clock this evening. Some of you that had planned on not coming, you already know in your mind, change it. You ever thought about changing your mind? It might be a good idea. And so let's be here at 6 o'clock this evening. All right. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 4 right quick for a minute. And I wouldn't preach what I'm going to do this morning, but it's on my heart heavy. And the reason I said that was several months ago, I dealt with this very scripture. And I don't usually do it that quick again, but it's going to be different this morning. And I'll say some things a little bit different. I gave a little Bible study on it several months ago. And I'm going to look at the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to help you this morning with whatever it is you're tempted with. Now, everybody in here has some kind of temptation that bothers you. And if you're a human being, you're tempted many times to say or do or be or not say or do or be what you're not supposed to do. And so I'm going to take this morning and trust the Lord that I'm doing what He wants me to do and try to help you with it. This will not be a sermon that you'll talk about for years, but I believe it will help you if you'll listen to me this morning. If you have a problem with temptation, all of you do. All of us do. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Notice he was full of the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't think a man like that could even be tempted, would you? Verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he's through. He departed from him forever. What does it say? For a what? A season. That means just because he passed this test didn't mean he was done with the devil forever. He departed for a little while. Listen, the devil may leave you alone for a little while, but I promise you one thing, he'll be back. He'll be back to your house. He'll It'll be back to your home. It'll be back to your mind. It'll be back in your heart. That old stuff you thought you got whipped, it'll come back. Don't ever think, as long as you're in this flesh, that you have total, final, complete, permanent victory over temptation. Because you've not. I want to preach on the lessons from the temptation of Christ. Now, I'm going to read these off quick to you this morning and comment on them. The Lord put this in the Bible so me and you could learn and learn from His example. The Lord Jesus Christ knocked it out of the park. He done 100% right. He had done without food for 40 days. The devil hit him 3 different ways with temptation. He knocked down every one of them and stayed right. That's example for me and you. Now, let me just point out some things to you. There's somebody sitting in this church this morning, you're having a struggle. That's putting it mildly. You want to go back and do one of them old sins so bad you can't stand it sometime. This week, the devil tempted you with something or somebody. Maybe it was substance, alcohol, drugs. Maybe it was a person, a man or a woman. Maybe it was a deal, money. Some kind of temptation hit you that we all face in this life. And boy, there may be somebody in here this morning that failed miserably just this week. I want to try to help you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Brother Danny, please help me, please. You don't know how I'm battling. You don't know how I'm fighting, what I'm fighting. I fight it every day. I got a phone call one day this week, I believe it was Thursday or Friday, and I didn't even recognize the area code, and it was a man. He probably will hear this sermon. He listens to us all the time. So he was several states from here, way off. I'm guessing 800 miles from here where we're sitting here this morning. He said, this Danny Castle? I said, yes. He said, I listen to you all the time. He said, I don't have a church. He said, all the churches here are either crazy or dead. And that's the way it's getting nowadays. They're either crazy people or they're deader than 4 o'clock. And he said, I listen to you all the time. I consider you. He said, I drive a truck. And he said, I listen to you every day to help me stay straight. He said, I need you to pray for me. I said, okay. He said, it's hard for me to do this. I'm going to confess to you, I'm having a very hard time not looking at pictures and stuff on my internet that I shouldn't look at. And he said, I just want you to know, he said, I thought if I confessed it to somebody, maybe it would help me. I said, okay. I said, first of all, I appreciate you being man enough to admit that you've got a problem. Most won't. I said, second, I promise you I will pray for you. Now, look, I know we got a church full of people sitting in here this morning, and the devil's out there like crazy. You know what I told that man? I said, here's what you're going to have to do, and I'm going to go over it with you this morning so it'll help you. There's people sitting right here. I ain't stupid. I mean, there's several hundred people in here this morning, and I know that some of you are fighting that same battle. He said, I'm divorced. I got a couple of kids. He said, I know it's wrong. He said, I know I shouldn't look at that filth and trash on there, but he said, it's like something pulls. He said, it's like something keeps pulling me, and something keeps pulling me, and something keeps pulling me, and I know it. Now, your temptation may not be that kind of filthy stuff, but your temptation may be just to lie, or gossip, or cheat, or be proud of yourself, or think you're better than other people, or whatever. But you've got some kind of temptation, and I'm going to give you how the Lord dealt with it this morning. Number one, the first lesson we're going to learn is this. Get this through your head. Number one, there is a real devil. There is a real devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is real. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. He is not a myth. He is not a legend. He is not just a force of evil. That's what they talk about when they said on the news when a bunch of people blows up buildings and stuff. They say, well, there certainly is evil in the world, but they'll never say devil. The devil is the source of evil. You better believe there is a real personal devil. He is not just a force. He is an entity. He is a person. He is second in power to God Himself. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a real devil. Now, let me tell you something about the devil. Here's where a lot of Christians get out. The devil say, oh, the devil's not, they paint him in movies and cartoons of his a red suit and horns and a pitchfork, and that's not the devil. Now, the truth is, all of that stuff is scriptural and is a picture of the devil. The truth is, he is represented in the book of Revelation as a red dragon. He is represented as having horns, and even the pitchfork, yes, the pitchfork, 1 Samuel 2:13 is scriptural. In the Old Testament, when they throw something in the fire to burn it, take the pitchfork. That's where that comes from. But when he appears, and you see the devil, he appears as an angel of light. He don't appear with pitchfork and horns and a tail and fire breathing out of his mouth like the dragon that he is in the book of Revelation. But he appears as an angel in light, of light. When Beyonce sits on stage, I have her on video, sits here and she says, I raised my hands and I felt something come into me. That's not electricity. That is not just that. She said, I felt something. She calls it Sasha Fierce. And then she can stand on stage. A normally shy woman can perform. She said, I can sing and dance and do stuff when that, whatever that is, comes in me that I couldn't do otherwise. And you hear about the murder, that voice is in my head. Every time somebody sees something, they said, I heard a voice in my head. Now, a lot of people just write that off as crazy people. They say, oh, them people's crazy. That's not true. If you was crazy, how come them voices don't never tell you to bake a cake for your neighbor and take it over to them? It never tells you to do something nice, does it? Isn't that weird? If you're just crazy, wouldn't you just be nice and sweet? It's always kill somebody, cut their throat, burn their house down, do something like that. Those voices, I'm telling you, there is a real devil. The truth is, many of you have heard him speak. There's been a few times in my life, if we sat down in my office over there and talked, that I could tell you I felt like I heard the devil talk to me. And I'm not talking about with these ears, but you know what I'm talking about. He says, bam, bam, and he'll put it to you. And you know that the devil is real. Hadn't you heard that voice? Hadn't you heard sometime going down the road and a voice just says, why don't you just pull in here? And why don't you just go over there? And why don't you just do it? You know what I'm talking about. The devil is real. Get that through your head. He's real. Number two, the next thing I want you to notice is this. The best and holiest men are tempted. The best and holiest men are tempted. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to understand that if the devil can hit Jesus Christ and tempt him, don't you ever think you're too high and holy and good for him to knock the socks out or the rug out from under you. I mean, brother, he'll trip you and make you fall flat on your face. Don't you ever think, buddy, I've arrived, I've learned a lot of scripture, I'm a riding high. The devil tempts the best and the holiest of men. It's so tragic to see some who you thought were strong fall to the devil's temptation. This proves the old saying that people always said, it's not a sin to be tempted, it's a sin to yield to the temptation. Get that through your head. It is not a sin. Jesus never sinned. If it's a sin to be tempted, Jesus would have sinned. Yeah, I've heard people say, oh my goodness, how could I have thought something like that? Oh, good night, I must be the evilest person in the world. You just wouldn't believe how wicked I thought that. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was holy. He was God in the flesh. He never committed one sin, and yet he was tempted. There is no sin in being tempted. I don't have time to deal with each temptation, but you know the first thing the devil said to him? The devil said, if you're the Son of God, do this and this and this. Turn the stone into bread. If you're the Son of God. You know what the devil did? Remember this. The devil questioned his sonship. He questioned his sonship. If the devil can get you to start doubting that you're really saved, he's got his foot in the door already. He'll say, if you're really a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. If you was really saved, you would have never thought. How many, you don't have to raise your hand. How many's ever thought, good night, I must not be saved, or I'd have never thought or done what I thought or done. Lord have mercy. Maybe I'm not even saved. Got his foot in the door right there. It's just like you open that door over there and somebody get their foot in. It's hard to get them out once they get that foot in that door. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, he tempts the best men. He'll tempt you. It's a big mistake to get to you think you've got to the point where you'd say, I'd never do this. I'd never do that. I heard a man stand in church one time, and somebody told something somebody did. He said, well, I tell you one thing, I'd never do that. And in less than 1 year, he was doing exactly what he said. Never say never. Don't ever say. You always say, by the grace of God and by the help of the Lord, I want to live for the Lord and do right. I hope I never do. Don't ever get to the point where you think you would never. I've heard people say that, and I shudder when I hear people say, boy, I tell you one thing, you'd never catch me doing that. You better watch your mouth. There's somebody listening to you that's more powerful than me and you and all of us put together, and he'll jerk the rug out from under you so fast, it'll make your head swim. I'm telling you, the holiest and best people in the world face temptation. Number three, I want to say this. I want to say, number three, the devil, are you listening? The devil knows your weakest point. The devil knows your weakest point. He knows what your weakness is. Sure he does. What did he do? Jesus hadn't ate a bite in 40 days. Down just a hair, brother. Down, and he had not ate one bite of food in 40 days. Now, if a man ain't ate a bite of food in 40 days, how are you going to tempt him? You're not going to say, hey, you want to go play golf on Sunday? You're not going to say, Jesus, you pay your tithes this week. He said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Notice how smart the devil was. It was his stone. The Lord owned them stones. His Father made them. He was there with him in creation when the stone was created. He could have turned that stone into a big yeast roll about that big and created butter to go in it. I'm telling you, brother, you don't eat for 40 days. I mean, when I fast for one day, if I saw a stone that big I could turn into a yeast bread, Lord have mercy, I'd stick my face in it. Butter it all. Don't use your hand. Don't use a knife. Just eat your way through. I'm telling you, that's just one day. I can't imagine 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights, no food. So the devil says, "Why don't you make you some bread there, hot, that hot bread with butter on it. Sound good, don't it, Jesus? I'm telling you, he knows your weakest point. Hey, listen to me. He knows when you've had a bad day at work. Listen, men, you men, listen. He knows when you've had a bad day at work and you're driving home, and about that time you pass a sign on the road, and there's the old bar where you used to hang out, and you had a bad day, and your boss is mad, and you're about ready to quit your job, and he'll slide in beside you and say, hey, won't you turn in here? Go back to the old life. He knows where your weakest point is. He knows how to hit you. He knows what bothers you. Hey, you know what he'll do to you? He'll say, you know what the devil will do? He'll send your old drug dealing buddy by your house that you ain't seen in 5 years. Or you'll run into him at the store. Honest to goodness, I know a guy that went to rehab and got clean, and he got off drugs. He's on pills real bad. And brother, he went to the store, and next thing I know, he's all messed up on drugs again. I said, what in the world? Where did you find it? He wasn't even from around here. He said, I met this guy at the store, and we started talking, and he gave me some, or I bought some from him. And I thought, what's the odds of that happening? You know how many times I've been to the store? 10,000. Nobody has ever tried to sell me pills at a store. That's never happened to me. You know why? The devil knows that ain't my weakness. I shut up because anything can happen. But that don't bother me. Other than something, he knows where to hit me. He knows where to hit you. If you've been on them drugs, that's the bad thing about doing stuff. Once you did it, he'll keep bringing it back and keep bringing it back and keep bringing it back. Don't you doubt it. He'll hit you at your weak point. When you're weak, you and your wife just had a fuss, and you go to work, and that woman smiles at you, and the devil will say, I think she likes you. You ever heard that voice? That's two times she smiled at you this week. I bet she would. I bet she'd go out with you. Boy, y'all are quiet in here right now. He'll hit you at your weakest point. Right when you pull in the store, the beer truck pulls up, don't it? They show up, got water dripping off of it, looks ice cold. The devil won't show you the backside. Listen, it took my daddy 15 years to become an alcoholic. Little sip, little sip, little sip, little sip, more sip, more sip, more sip, more sip. By the time you're 40 and 50 years old, I almost killed him and probably would be alive right now telling you this morning, He knows your weakest point. He knows when you hit that TV button what to put on there. When you get a hold of that internet, He'll have something pop up and you'll pop. And here's what you'll say. You'll say, I don't really want to watch this. I just want to see what's going on. I'm telling you, listen. I don't mess with the internet. I know how to get on there and look up something. You're welcome to look at my computer if you want to look at it and see. Or my phone, either one. I'm telling you, you better make up your mind. I'm not going to let that stuff. That stuff will destroy you. Ain't nobody's wife can look like them old skanks on there. Not long. Them skanks won't look like that long. Devil knows your weakest point. He'll say, your husband will be real hateful and everything. About that time, you'll meet that man at work, and you'll say, the devil will say, you know what? He would treat you right. If you had him, he'd be good to you. Your husband's me. He would know how to treat you. And some of y'all are so young and dumb that you believe something like that. I'll tell you this morning, the devil knows how to hit. Said it like this. He said, when I meet a woman and I see a sparkle in her eye, I make sure it's not a reflection of the twinkle that's in my own. That means when she looks at you like that, make sure she ain't looking at you like that because you look at her like you look at her. Can't understand that. Number four. Temptation follows a filling of the Spirit or a great victory. Isn't that true? You wouldn't think that, would you? Sometimes when the devil hits you, you just come out of a great victory. That's scriptural. All the way through the Bible, Noah, a man that walked with God, was perfect in his generation. And Noah, here he's sawing, working on the ark. They repent. Pow, pow, pow. Shem, Ham, Japheth. That's 120 years. Repent. They throwed everything at him but the kitchen sink. He had everything happen to him that could possibly happen to a man. Stayed right with God. Got in the ark. God, he saw God miraculously bring all them animals into the ark, and it floated above the mountains and landed on Ararat. And he came out, had the whole world. And you know what he did? Got drunk. Messed up. Right after the biggest victory of his life. David killed the giant. Here's Goliath. He was 9.5 feet tall, at least. I mean, his head would be like this right here. And boy, I mean, nobody could touch him. Everybody's scared to death of him. Everybody's scared to fight of him. David comes down there, takes his sling. He goes out there, and everybody's scared. He's gonna chew him up. He'll kill him. David slings that sling right there. Pow! Hits him right smack between the eyes, and Goliath falls. The greatest victory. Shout the Philistine. David killed his 10,000. David killed his 10,000. And what did he do? Stayed home one day when he ought to went to work and was watching a nude woman and wound up having her husband killed and married her. Stole a man's wife. Temptation sometimes follows a great victory. Heard about a guy that went over Niagara Falls. One of them barrels, you know, them daredevils will get in them barrels and go over Niagara Falls. Buddy, I wouldn't go over Niagara Falls. I've seen it two or three times. Lord have mercy! You talk about scary. Good night. Water's coming out from the Canada side. Man, you can look and see, and you can actually go under there, and that mist, whatever you call that thing, and go underneath that thing, and one side Canada, another side United States. Buddy, you see all that water going off there? And they say people go. I said, ain't no way in, ain't no money in the world. And the guy went over Niagara Falls in a barrel and come out, went victory. He won and was going down the street a little later and slipped on a banana peeling and fell and like to broke his neck, hurt himself real bad. That's a picture of how the devil went. Right after you think, boy, you got him hooked. What's the Bible say? Pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Look in sports. If a team wins, you start thinking you're big stuff, You're going down. It's a real lie. It's in politics. It's in everything. And especially in living in the Christian life, about the time you think you're perfect and you got it made, that's when the devil will hit you. Somebody said this, if you think everything's great, you obviously have overlooked something. Number five, how the devil tempts. The Bible said he tempts by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now the Bible said there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Let me help you here. I know I'm a little doing about half teaching, half preaching this morning, but let me help you. The Bible says that whatever your temptation is, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You are not the only person going through what you're going through. You'll think it. You'll think, my goodness, ain't nobody there been hit like this. If they had that all, that ain't true. It's common to man. Whatever you're being tempted with, it's common. There's people all over the world fighting the same battle. Other people want to get high and do drugs. Other people want to get drunk and party. Other people are tempted to go shack. Other people to steal. Other people kill somebody, whatever. It's common to man. It's common to man. You ain't fighting no battle. There ain't millions of other people fighting too. So don't get on a pity party and know about, well, I couldn't help it. And poor me, I'm just so beautiful. And I'm just so talented. Or No. Everybody goes through the same temptation. No, but you ain't special. You're just one the devil like to knock off and make a notch for himself. You ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. I'm not either. Listen, the devil tempts with a common temptation. You know what he did to Jesus? He said, Jesus, turn it into bread. The Lord said, it's written. He took him up to a high mountain. He said, all the kingdoms of the world will I give you. You can win the Powerball. Yeah, I finally got your attention. You nuts. Y'all are nuts. You know what? I told my daughter last night, I was talking about how much money, $1 billion in power. I said, I feel sorry for whoever wins that. And I mean it. I mean it. You talk about a miserable. I'm telling you, you wouldn't be happy. Because you know how hard it do to do right with all that. Lord help, man. If you got food in your belly and you got clothes on your back and you got church and you got God and you got the Bible, just thank God for what you've got. Quit whining about everything all the time. Now I hope some of you get rich. And Mac said he'd build us a gym if he wanted. I hope he does. I'm praying you will. Big fellowship building or something. But anyway, that's how the devil tempts. Worship him. You know how about temptation? The more you see it, the better it looks. Quickly, I'll give you these last two and I'm done. Number six, how to win over temptation. I hope I ain't painted you a bad picture. I hope you don't think, well, Lord, according to you, preacher, we're all going down. No, we ain't. By the help of God, we've got a weapon to fight the devil, and it's this right here. It ain't your willpower. It ain't how smart you are, or how intellectual you are, or how educated you are. Jesus fought the devil with the Word of God. He didn't even sing. He quoted Scripture. Now, I like singing. I like to hear good singing, and it'll drive the devil out of your house. But I'm telling you one thing, brother. He said, it is written. It is written. You know what I told that guy from down yonder called me the other day? The one I was telling you about a minute ago? I said, get you some Scripture. Matthew 5:28. If you looked on a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Say it to yourself. Every time you're tempted, quote that Scripture. If alcohol's your problem, learn Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived by thereby is not wise. If pride goes before destruction, get you some Scripture on your heart. And when the devil puts it in your mind, quote him the Scripture. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Somebody said, call on God, but row away from the rocks. If your boat, is floating toward the rocks, call on God and row away from the rocks. There's some people you can't hang around. There's some places you can't go. There's some people you just can't. I can tell you what you are or what you're going to be by the people that you're hanging around right now. You're going to be like them. The friends you choose. The place you go. Where you go to church tells a lot about you. The books you read tells a lot about you. The TV shows you watch. Everything! One little boy said it like this. He said, what do you do when the devil comes knocking at your heart's door? He said, I just tell Jesus to answer. And that's what you got to do. Tell the Lord to answer the door. This and I'm through. Number 7. The devil only departs for a season. Don't ride too high if you resisted. You may have to fight the same battle more than once, or twice, or 10 times to finally win it. We'll close with this. I'm going to give you some good advice. Half the trouble in life comes from saying yes too quick and no not soon enough. Remember that. Half the trouble in your life comes from saying yes too quick and no not quick enough. Up in the woods that we were at my sister's cabin, she's got a cabin up in the mountains. Big old creek running down by it, and there's this big old tree about that big around. I guess it was that big around. Had fell right across that creek. Crashed into that water. And I got to looking, and I thought, man, that's a big tree. And I didn't take a bulldozer to push that thing over. Do you know what happened? The roots right around the edge of that creek, that's weak. They go down. There wasn't nowhere for them to go. And it failed. Too close to the edge. And whenever I see a Christian fall, you can mark it down. They was hanging around too close to the edge somewhere. That's why it is important what you do in private when nobody's looking. It is important the way you live your life, what you do with your time, how you let your mind, movies you watch, everything. Because you're hanging there too close to the edge. One of these days when you ain't paying attention, the devil just shove you right over. That's how the Lord dealt with temptation. I want you to stand by your head, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now the worst thing you can think right now would be this. I can't go to that altar because people would think that I've done something terrible. That's the worst thing you can think. Don't you worry about it. Truth be known, 3/4 of us need to be an altar. If the truth be known. Whatever the devil's bothering you with, I hope you're man enough or woman enough to be like that guy called me the other day and say, you know what? I'm going to get me some strength and I'm going to get me some help. Teenager, we heard yesterday about one of our bus kids. A little girl comes on the bus, 12 years old, already getting into deep, deep, wicked sin, just 12 years old. My people, you don't think the devil's real? Let's get in this altar this morning. Let's get up here this morning and get some help from God. Come on, that's right. Just come on. Hey, don't worry about somebody that faints. They can jump in the lake. You do business with God here this morning.